To talk about Jesus' identity tonight. Talking about his baptism in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Jesus, identify yourself to us tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why does Matthew include the baptism of Jesus in his book? Mark and Luke also include the baptism, but they have a different perspective on it if you look at that. But Matthew has his reasons for including the baptism of Jesus in his book. And I believe one of the reasons that he's doing this, probably his main reason, is to identify Jesus. In fact, number one, establishing Jesus' identity. I believe that's part of the reason Matthew, if not the main reason, Matthew puts Jesus' baptism in his story. He's establishing Jesus's identity. Now, Jesus' public ministry in the book of Matthew does not begin until chapter 4, verse 17. But prior to that, in the chapters and verses prior to chapter 4, verse 17, Matthew is establishing Jesus' identity as God's son, as God's agent, as God's called one to fulfill his purpose. His public activity, starting at chapter 4, verse 17, will enact God's will and God's reign from that identity. Jesus will start doing the things he does because of who he is. It flows, the things that he does flows from the person that he is, his identity. And if you walk through Jesus' identity in the first chapters of Matthew, you'll see why Jesus can do the will and the reign of God in chapters 4, verse 17 and following. So let's just walk through that real quick. In chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, Jesus' identity is identified as God's life-giving, ruling activity among Israel and the nations. So Jesus is identified as God's ruling activity among Israel, which we might expect because he's Israel's Messiah, but also among the nations. And when you see among the nations, that means Gentiles. Jesus is called to Gentiles as well, the Jewish Messiah called to Gentiles. In chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, he is divinely commissioned in his identity from conception to manifest God's presence. From before he was born, at his conception, he was identified as God's agent, as God's chosen one, born of the Virgin Mary, chapter 1, verse 25, through chapter 2, verse 1. God is his father. That is his identity. He was threatened by the murderous King Herod as a baby. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, we're told. So at the very beginning, his identity is a threat to the rich, to the powerful, to the profane, King Herod. People who like the status quo. And King Herod liked the status quo, so this child's identity was a threat to him. We're told in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, he's worshipped by the Magi. He's worshipped by the Gentiles. He's epiphany took place. So he's not just for Israel, but he's bringing in the nations. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, He's neglected by the Jerusalem leaders, those people who should have accepted him. The religious elite in Jerusalem rejected him. We're told he's protected by angels in chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. So God is watching over him. We're told in chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, that the scriptures, the Old Testament, the scriptures were talking about him over and over again in that chapter. Matthew says, to fulfill what was written, to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament. His identity fulfills the Old Testament, the scriptures. And he was guided by God in chapters 2, verses 1 through 23. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, his identity is not just testified by himself. His identity is witnessed to by John. John will cry out. He's the one crying in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So John identifies him. And these chapters establish Jesus as God's anointed agent, his anointed Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham, Emmanuel, the King of the Jews, sent out to the nations as well. And in his baptism, this is Jesus' first really public actions as an adult in Matthew's book. This affirms his identity and his commission as God's chosen agent, God's chosen son to bear witness to him, to bring about the rule and the reign of God. God even bears witness to this, verbalizing Jesus' identity as his son. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved agent. This is the one that I have chosen. Now, if you read in chapter 4, verses 1 through 16, that is the temptation. The devil tests Jesus in his identity. The devil tests Jesus in his commitment to his identity. If you are the Son of God, if your identity is correct, you cannot see some ID, the devil tells Jesus. Identify yourself. But Jesus remains resolute in his identity as God's chosen agent in chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Number 2. John baptizing Jesus provides the occasion in which Jesus expresses his identity. Expresses his identity public. We're going public now. He's been living in obscurity as a carpenter for 30 years, but now he's going public. He's publicly identifying himself. John has a baptism of repentance, and he's calling people to a late way of life that expresses a commitment to God through repentance. This baptism occurs down at the Jordan River. This would be the river the Israelites crossed after 40 years in the desert, after leaving Egypt. I've called my son out of Egypt, and when he called him out of Egypt, chapter 2, verse 15, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, they would cross that Jordan River to get into the promised land. And when you're crossing that Jordan River, when the Israelites were crossing that Jordan River into the promised land, they were entering into a new community life, a new communal life shaped by God's will. When you cross that Jordan River, they were leaving far behind the oppressive Egyptian slavery. They were leaving behind even the difficult wanderings that they had in the wilderness. They were leaving all that behind and starting afresh and anew. When the waters of the Jordan crossed, it was almost like a baptism for them as they walked across that water into a new life. So now here's Jesus starting his public ministry, going right down to the same river. I called my son out of Egypt, chapter 2, verse 15, talking about Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. And now Jesus goes down to his baptism. And like the others, Jesus goes to the place where John is baptizing. John is calling for repentance, confession of sin, and commitment to God's will. And Jesus submits himself to John's baptism. Despite the fact, what? That he is without sin. But he submits himself to John's baptism. He's embodying the behavior he would later command his followers to do as they take up their cross and follow him. Baptism is an important sacrament, sacred mystery in the church that we follow. It sacredly represents the cleansing of sin. It sacredly represents the new life. It sacredly represents entry into the membership of the community of faith. It sacredly represents a commitment to God. It sacredly represents dying to sin and rising to faith and righteousness. In the waters of baptism, we are connected to God. In the waters of baptism, we are connected to the community of believers. In the waters of baptism, we are connected to salvation's history. 2,000 years of it, as we go down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, where the Baptists go down, and the CRC go down, and the Pentecostals go down, and the Anglicans go down, and the Catholic go down, and we're all called to follow Christ into the waters. Now, the scene from there moves beyond John, beyond John's concerns. The exchange between Jesus and John almost becomes secondary, and it moves to God's declaration of Jesus' identity, which is what we're talking about tonight. Jesus' identity, identified by the Father, is what takes center stage. Number three. Clarifying. I give you some hard words tonight. Clarifying. Spell it the best you can. I'm not taking it up. Clarifying the significance of Jesus' baptism. John and Jesus talk at the edge of the waters. This conversation between John and Jesus is It's omitted, it's not delved into by Mark and by Luke. But Matthew wants to clarify the significance of Jesus' baptism, and he does so in the conversation that John and Jesus have. John protests. Why are you presenting yourself to me to be baptized? I should present myself to you to be baptized. You take away the sins of the world. Now, the story does not tell us how John recognizes Jesus. He just, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I shouldn't be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. It doesn't go into those details. It has to be the Holy Spirit upon John revealing this to him. And it's not perfectly, because John is not God. He has his weaknesses, because later on when we get to Matthew chapter 11, after John has been arrested by King Herod, he's sitting in that jail cell, and he sends one of his disciples come for a visit. You know, he's on the phone, and his disciples on the phone said, "Would you go ask at Jesus if he's the Messiah? Because I didn't think this was going to happen." So the disciple goes and asks Jesus, "Are you the one we're looking for, or should we wait for another? Tell him the blind see, the deaf hear, the sick are healed, the dead are raised, and blessed are those who are not offended," because it doesn't look exactly the way they want it to look. "Not offended on account of me." If Jesus sent the Messiah, I thought he would stop Herod. I thought he would stop Caesar. But Jesus shows his authority. with his demand for immediate baptism. Let it be now. That's what Jesus said. I like that. And he follows with this explanation. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. To fulfill all righteousness. That's one of Matthew's favorite words, especially in the first few chapters of his book. The verb fulfill. He's used it four times previously before Jesus says it here at his baptism. He uses it in chapter 1, 22, chapter 2, verses 15, 17, and 23. To fulfill, fulfill, fulfill. And now Jesus uses it again to fulfill all righteousness. What is Jesus saying? That his life fulfills the scriptures, that his life fulfills the will of God, that his life fulfills all righteousness, what God desires. So at Jesus' baptism, it signals that the circumstances of Jesus' life is God's will. It's what God desires. It fulfills what God desires. So me doing this, John, even though you're not worthy enough to baptize me, fulfills what God desires. He was joining us. He's identified as God, and God identifies with us in the waters of baptism. Without losing any of his identity as God, he takes on the identity of man. And at his baptism, it expresses his commitment to live out God's will in this life, in a human life. We know from Matthew chapter 1, being God's agents of God's saving grace, he's fulfilling this identity. Matthew chapter 1, 21 through 23, which we talked about a couple of Sundays ago. She will give birth to a son. You will give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin shall conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So he did this. He entered into humanity at birth, and now he's entering in even further into humanity at his baptism to fulfill all righteousness. It expresses righteousness, expresses the actions of God, because God is righteous. And to act righteously is to act in accord with God's will. So Jesus' baptism then identifies and signifies his commitment to act faithfully to his God-given identity. That's why he is baptized. So John consents to baptize Jesus. Number four. God confirms Jesus' identity. He confirms his identity as my agent to bring about my salvation, to fulfill everything that I desire in this world through my Son. And he does this by sending the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and declaring Jesus' identity as my Son. The climax of this scene is not the baptism itself, but the vision Jesus encounters as he comes up from the water. The heavens open. That's scripture talk. That's Bible talk for a divine revelation. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 11, the heavens open. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, the heavens open. A divine revelation straight from heaven, a message straight from heaven. This is my beloved Son. And Jesus sees the Spirit descending on him from heaven, the dwelling place of God. And God identifies Jesus, his expression of commitment, by equipping Jesus with his Holy Spirit for the ministry. The Spirit of God comes upon various biblical figures to equip them in the Old Testament for divine service. The Spirit of God came upon Gideon, upon David, upon Joshua, upon Solomon, even upon Balaam. And the Spirit came upon them for a particular time, for a particular ministry, for a particular service, but not in full. But when the Spirit of God descends upon Jesus, he remains upon Jesus. He never goes back. When he descends, he never goes back off of Jesus. And it says the Spirit of God was full of the Spirit, Jesus was. The Spirit is imaged as a dove linking Jesus' baptism with creation in Genesis chapter 1, like the Spirit hovering over the waters of creation. Now, the Spirit hovers over the waters of baptism and stays there, signifying the new act of creation in the life of Jesus. So God declares Jesus' identity and destiny as God's Son, God's agent, God's Messiah. God expresses the love for him and announces that he is my chosen one, my beloved one, in whom I am well pleased. That's how he identifies him. Chosen to manifest God's saving presence. That's the main function of Jesus' identity. You say, what does that mean for us? It means that Jesus has entered in fully to what it's like to be a man, to be a human being. He can identify with us without losing any of his identity as God. Jesus identifies as God's saving agent. And he has invited us to join him in the waters of baptism. He's invited us to join him to remember the day that we were baptized in water. And in doing so, through him, we fulfill all righteousness, not in and of ourselves, but by faith, by grace, in who he identifies as. And we identify ourselves through him. We are Christians, Christ followers. Our identity is in Christ. And that's what we're going to do right now. Baptism is one of our sacraments. Communion is another one of our sacraments. So Jesus invites us into the waters of baptism, and he invites us to his table to identify with him. So if you would, if you're able, would you come? Let's identify with Jesus this evening. Thank you, Lord. I just felt the Holy Spirit tonight. Good, good, good. Would you just tell God tonight that you identify with him through his son, Jesus? Jesus, Heavenly Father, we just identify with you tonight. Our identity is found in you. Our old identity was buried in the waters of baptism. We're raised anew to a new identity in Christ. We believe you are God's saving agent. We believe in who you are. We believe who you identified yourself to be. Thank you for inviting us into the waters. Thank you for inviting us to the table. Thank you for identifying with us. Thank you for identifying as God. We thank you for the broken body of Christ, where our identity is changed in faith in what you've done. We honor you for that. The body of Christ, broken for you, receive in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Christ. It makes us white as snow. That justifies us. That brings the new identity in you. We identify with you tonight through the blood of Christ. We plead the blood. The blood of Christ poured out for you. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just continue to walk in your identity as Christ, as Christians, as little Christ, as those who follow Christ. Daily, weekly, monthly. Help us to do so, O Lord. Now, Lord, I ask you to bless your people, that you would make your face shine upon every person here, that you would be gracious to every person here, and that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.